I'm glad I know who Jesus is. If you agree, say amen. You're all glad that I know who Jesus is. That's good. I'm glad you know who Jesus is too. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. One of the exciting stories in the Bible, the story of Naaman. Naaman found cleansing, and as he found cleansing, there were some things he learned. And so we're going to look at him. And so tonight, as we look at the Lord's Supper, if you're saved, you found cleansing. And hopefully, there's some things you learned along the way. Things maybe you thought you knew. We human beings think we know stuff. And then God teaches us stuff, and you think, oh, I didn't know the things I thought I knew. Or what I thought I knew was not quite accurate. And God helps us as we get close to Him, and He changes our thinking, and he brings that cleansing miraculously. God does it, but there's some things that we learn along the way. So 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 27, and I'll skip through a little bit, but I want to look tonight at Naaman, and then next Sunday night I want to look at Gehazi. And so we'll talk about that, kind of contrast these two men. 2 Kings 5, verses 1 and following. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord, and this is interesting, here's this enemy captain, and God allowed him to bring a deliverance. It just reminds us that no matter what people group, God is doing a work. It's not just he was doing a work with Israel and forget everybody else. We see here that God was at work even in other people groups than Israel, other nations. By him the Lord had given great deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land a land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Verse 5, the king of Syria said, so the king of Syria finds out and sends Naaman, go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel, and he departed. And so, Naaman thinks, I know how things work. If there's a miracle to be had down there, if there's cleansing to be had, I'm going to have to pay for it. He was going to learn that cleansing from God, the price is paid already. Well, so here's the first we see here. He's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to pay for it. Cleansing is precious. Amen. Cleansing is precious. He doesn't even realize how precious, but he's like, I'm going to bring some money. I'm going to pay for it. And he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold. Ooh, that sounds exciting. 6,000 pieces of gold. 10 changes of raiment. That's not as exciting. I have a closet full of duds. But again, this is different. All right, okay. So let's jump down to verse 8. So anyway, the king of Israel, he gets all panicked and says, oh, don't worry about it, God can help him. And so verse 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent it to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. So again, Elisha does not come out. So again, here's another area. I don't know, Naaman probably thought that he knew, I'm a submissive person. I can submit. I can listen to the king. And the reason why I'm a captain is because I listened on my way up through the ranks, my commanding officer, and I understand how my men need to submit to me. I'm submissive. And little did he realize he was not submissive. So he did not come with a humility. In fact, when Elisha, yes, I'll help you, but I'm not going to come myself. I'm going to send a messenger. Oh, that offended him. He didn't have a softness of heart. There was no humility as he came for this cleansing. And God was going to help him with that too. So he came with a payment. I'm going to cover this. He came, he came with a pride and arrogance, and that doesn't get you the cleansing. So Elisha sent a messenger unto him, say, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come to thee, and thou shalt be clean. I'm not impressed with that. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. Here's it again. What do we say? We human beings. But I thought. The things we think we know. The things we think we know, and God has to help us with those things. Isn't it nice that God is patient and long-suffering? Behold, I thought he will surely come out. I imagined it this way. And we do. I imagined it this way. But God says otherwise. But I... Stop. Stop with your imagination. There's Bible, and then there's your imagination. Which one are you going to live for? But I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Now he's all mad at Jordan River. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? I'm unimpressed with the solution. Isn't that humanity? We tell them, hey, there's cleansing. And we share the gospel. And they're like, yeah, I'm not impressed with that. I'm not impressed with that. So he turned away and went in a rage. So from he was wroth, and now he turns away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Yeah, that's my point. It's more impressive if I do something, if I bring a payment, or I do some great thing to show that I am worthy of this cleansing. That's the point. You're not worthy. Yes, you would be ready to do some great thing, but that's not how it works. How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? If he says, if you'll just submit and trust in his power to do something miraculous where he gets the glory and you get this much, but you're clean. Can you deal with that? If you just submit, he provides the power, you get this much glory and you're clean. Are you good with that? Well, part of me really doesn't like it. But I guess I can be good with that. Verse 14. So how's he going to go from wrath to rage to be clean? Well, just submit. Verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. From wrath to rage to regenerated. Not like New Testament regeneration, but regenerated flesh. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, I learned some stuff. I learned some stuff. I thought I knew some things, but now I know some things. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth, for thy servant shall... And again, this is he's being changed. He comes to, I don't like being in dirty Israel with your dirty rivers and your dirty this and that. Now he's like, hey, can I take some dirt home with me? Can I have some of your dirt? This is such an interesting verse. This place is precious. Can I take some dirt home with me? So I can have a little of this special place, because I want to worship, and I want to remember the God I met here. And again, he's growing; his understanding isn't all that deep yet. He's a work in progress, But he knows there's a God in Israel, and that's going to change his life from henceforth. Can I have two mules burdened of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Ramon to worship there, and he leaneth upon my hand, I'm going to go back and my master is going to ask me to help him as he worships a false god. And do you suppose I can be forgiven if I just obey him? Because I know he's worshiping a false god, but he's my master. And he's going to rely on me. And I'm already bothered by that, because that isn't the real God. He's growing. The Lord pardon thy servant, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself to the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant this thing. And he said, go in peace. And so he departed him a little way, but Gehazi. All right, so this will be for next week. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman, this Syrian. And again, what an interesting word, spared him. He spared him. He let him have cleansing for free. He spared him that payment. He spared him. What a twisted viewpoint Gehazi had. He didn't get anything out of it. Boy, he was in this encounter, and God was glorified. What else is there to get out of an encounter? You meet with somebody, you talk with somebody, and in the end, wonderful things happen. Somebody says, I know that God is real, and God is glorified and uplifted, and lives are changed, and people are like, But then you have a Gehazi. It's like, man, Elisha, you're nuts. You got nothing out of that. You got nothing out of that. Like, what are you talking about? There's nothing better in life than to see God do wonderful things and change lives. What are you talking about? Ah, the sourness of a Gehazi whose heart was set on covetousness. Boy, Naaman, he was a leper. And he goes, listen, I want cleansing. I have a heart set on cleansing. Where can I find cleansing? Does anyone know where I can find cleansing? And the little maid says, yes, there is a God who can help you. Oh, you mean I can have cleansing? Oh, precious cleansing. But there was Gehazi, not excited about what God can do in the area of cleansing, but covetousness. He was missing the wonderful things in life because of a heart set on covetousness. He was arrested by the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So he goes and he lies. He comes back. The end of verse 26. Elisha says, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments in olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. What an odd story in the Bible. You have the captain of the enemy army who finds help and cleansing and mercy, and yet you find the servant of the man of God who finds leprosy and shame. And what made the difference? Well, a heart set on very different things. For tonight and next Sunday, I want to contrast these two men. Naaman, appreciative for cleansing. Gehazi, arrested by covetousness, the love of money. So, with a heart set on cleansing, Naaman sets out. There were things he thought he knew, but oh, he learned so much in these areas he thought he knew something about. He's going to learn something about submission. He's angry, and finally the servant talks to him, why don't you just do what the man of God told you to do? I know you don't like it, but won't you just do it and trust God? Boy, he thought he knew about submission, and he was going to learn so much. And then what did he learn about service? Service. I know how to serve. I serve my master. I serve. And here, he wants to serve later on for the right reason. Not to earn this cleansing, but an appreciation for the cleansing. He learned something about service. Boy, if the prophet had bid thee do something, yes, I know. If I could do something great and show my worthiness, that's the point. That's not why we serve, to show our worth. We serve to show how worthy he is of our service. And he learned something about sacrifice. I have a payment. I brought all this silver and the thousands of pieces of gold and the changes of raiment. I can purchase that. I can sacrifice. That's not what sacrifice means. Sacrifice means something very different. And you're going to learn those things in your pursuit of cleansing. Boy, tonight, I'm glad that I found cleansing. And I'm glad Naaman found cleansing. There were some things he learned. So what he learned about submission. Boy, finally, he's angry and about to turn away, but finally he submits. He went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times according to the saying of the man of God. He finally did what the man of God told him to do. And it worked. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. He was clean. He returned to the man of God and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee. Boy, he really learned what submissiveness sounds like. I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Boy, he probably thought he knew about submission. I submit to the king. My men submit to me, just like I submitted to my captains as I rose through the ranks. But really, he wasn't very submissive because he had way better ideas. You know, he said this about being cleansed, but I have better ideas. And that's how we humans are. If those of you that don't have children yet, you'll see. Son, I would like you to do this way.
Oh, but wouldn't it be better if?
No. No, just trust me and do it like I told you. Now, again, there's a time where there's like, oh, actually, that's not a bad idea. But every single time, they've got a better idea. A better idea. And that's how we humans are. We just have better ideas. And when it comes to cleansing and salvation and eternity, a lot of people that had a better idea than God are going to be sunk when they enter eternity. Boy, it seems to me that if I put more on the offering plate, maybe I could have cleansing. It's not how it works. Brother Schreiber talking about Catholicism and how he was raised that way. It makes sense that maybe there'd be sacraments. I can do certain things to earn my way to heaven or even maybe go through baptism. Won't that get me eternal brownie points or indulgences? Can't I pay for forgiveness? What can I do? Even the first two people, they're like, oh, we've sinned. There's shame. What can we do? And they came up with ideas for covering their own shame with those leaves they sewed together. And God said, that doesn't work. You have to do it my way. Innocent blood must be spilt for the covering. Boy, there was Naaman. Important people often feel far better giving instructions than really obeying them. You know, no, you're unfair to me. I can listen. I can listen, yeah, to your king, but what about the man of God? What about the preacher? It's interesting where some people that will buck. It's like, well, the preacher wants this, but I'm gonna, and then the same person, hey, I got this new job. Hey, I got this job, and my boss, he wants me to dress this way, and so I do. And he wants me to behave a certain way and do, and so I do. Because I learned to submit when there's a paycheck involved. Naaman, I know about submission. Well, he shows I can listen to a king, and the man of God said, "Hey, this is what God wants." Oh, he's angry because I have a different thinking, and he almost missed the blessing of God. I'm glad that he had a servant that said, "Hey, listen, won't you just try what God wants?" Boy, Naaman might have been a general, but in God's army, Elisha was the 4-star general, and Naaman was but a buck private, actually not even enlisted. He wasn't even in God's army yet. He needed to respect the rank in God's army. He was offended that Elisha didn't even come to greet him, but sent a messenger. Oh, he's offended. "Don't you know how important I am?" And again, our thinking is backwards because actually, Naaman, I do know how important you are. You're important, but not for the reasons you think. You're important because every soul is precious to my God. And you're going to have to set aside your own view of your own importance if there's going to be cleansing, because you are important. You just don't understand why yet. You think you're important because you think you're important, but actually you're important because he thinks you're important. Won't you bend to what he wants in your life? Oh, he's angry. But again, it could be a lesson to us. Here's Naaman, and he is angry, but so close to cleansing. What about us? Do you ever talk to somebody about the Lord, and they're angry, they slam the door, and you know, well, there's no hope for them. It may be that there's more hope for that person. They might be on the verge of something. And boy, have faith. And keep praying and keep working. That person from wrath to full of rage to clean. Oh, he was so close, and he made that right choice. What a fun story. Boy, that dirty Jordan River. But I thought there would be some spectacular healing. I was hoping that lightning would come from heaven and strike me, and I'd be, you know, muscular and clean and able to leap small buildings at a single bound or whatever. I imagined it was better in my mind. And you find that nothing is better than the way God wants it. Salvation is simple, and often we aren't impressed with simple. We want to show. But really, what are God's thoughts? But I thought, stop. What does God think? What are his thoughts? But I thought, stop. What does God think? Well, you know, as we think of the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us that it wasn't very interesting when he came. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 2. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Boy, naturally, there are things in this world that are more flashy. The lights of Broadway and the entertainment and the neon this and that and the commercials and sell your soul for this and you'll be happy. The commercials have us convinced and somebody says, "Won't you follow Christ?" And we're like, "Ah." I think if he would do a better job being more interesting, I would be more interested. He wasn't interested in going and dipping in that dirty. There's better rivers where I'm from. But you won't find cleansing in these ways that you think are all better. Galatians 5:11, "And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." There's an offensiveness of the cross. That's, again, that's why Cain. Cain didn't want a bloody sacrifice on his altar. I want a more beautiful religion. Away with the blood. Let's cover it with a cornucopia of beautiful fruits and vegetables. I want beautiful things there. I don't want the ugliness. It's offensive to me. And Naaman, boy, on this side he's angry. Oh, it's better if. But in a little while he's like, could I take some dirt home with me? This place is precious. And the Bible says, unto them which believe, he is precious. But it takes some setting aside of yourself before you can see just how precious he truly is. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You can see Naaman, this is foolishness. This is a joke. I'm getting out of here. And the servant says, stop, won't you try it? But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Boy, he was just going to have to submit to what God wanted and trust in his power. And that's what he did. Naaman had to realize you can't come before God as a rich and powerful general, but as a poor and needy leper. He wanted to be treated as a great man who happened to have leprosy instead of as a leper who happened to have achieved a little bit of rank in this life. You see, Elisha, he was a good man of God. He was more concerned about his disease than his dignity. Not so with so many people. There's no help for the man who is more concerned about his own status than his own sin. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the humble person that God lifts, the proud person he resists. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. King Saul, Samuel said, do you remember when you were small in your own eyes? God could do something with you then. 1 Samuel 15:17, Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Boy, in search for cleansing, God showed him the beauty of recognizing his own littleness. And in that place, God could cleanse him. And God could do something with him. Oh, church member, how long has it been since you remembered your own littleness? When there's humility, God can reach down and take the humble person and exalt. And yet I see so many so busy with exalting themselves. Just doing it God's way, bending to God's word. We human beings want everyone to bend to us. Our job is to get the situation prepped for him to do the real work and get the glory. Just like Naaman, his cleansing was completely God, but he had to do his part. His part was just simply doing what he was supposed to do, and God provided all the miracle. We're heading into the push next month, aren't we? And our job is to get everything prepped so that God can do a work. If we try to manufacture a work, it will be a wasted month. But it's for us to get everything prepped so he can do the work. Putting in the prayer, putting in the time, talking with people, loving people, going to those cottage prayer meetings, taking the time to make sure everything is in place so that he can do the work. If Naaman would have stopped at 6 times, he would not have been cleansed. God provided the cleansing. He provided the submission. Church family, do you want to see God do something next month? Our job is to roll the stone away so that Christ can call the Lazarus from the dead. Our job is not to fall asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. For Peter, I'm here for the big things. Prayer in the middle of the night, that's beneath me. That's a little thing. No, my friend, that was exactly what he needed. The flesh is weak. Ah, my Ford 500. It's an 06. It's got a slow leak in the front left tire. So I go out there and pump it up periodically. It's just a little fun thing. Brother Schreiber, I'm like, yeah, I'm just like Brother Schreiber. I maintain vehicles. No difference. Boy, I'm really glad that I have a little compressor that plugs into the 12-volt adapter and does the work. And again, I'm tired of the compressor getting all the glory. I want to do the work. Where's that bicycle hand pump? I want people to drive by and see me, you know. I want to do it. And again, I try that, and pretty soon I'm like, man, I'm an idiot. I want the compressor doing the work. But the compressor can't do the work unless I set it up to do the work. I got it in a little bag in my trunk. I can't just point to the car and say, compressor, that tire needs air. I got to get it out. I could go over and screw it onto the tire, but if I don't put it and just wait, nothing. I've got to set every detail in place, or that air is not going to get in that tire. I could plug it in and not flip it on, or not even attach it to the tire. The power's there, but there's no air getting in the... I have to make sure every little part of my... I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I got to plug it in, make sure it's turned on, undo the... Again, this is so simple. You undo the little... cap on the tire stem. And again, this is probably going way, I mean, again, only Mr. Schreiber and I are on the same wavelength. Now, I know I just lost everybody because of our mechanical prowess that few of us share. And turn it on, you know, screw it onto the valve stem and turn it on and brrr, I do my, but again, the compressor is doing the work. But I have to do my part so that the work is effective. Church family, we want God to do the work next month. But He's only going to do it if we've done all the things that we know to do. Putting in the time, putting in the prayer, having our sin confessed, being right with God. Our love for the world, and God says, lovest thou me more than these? You've got your fish from this world, and God says, am I better to you than your fish? Lovest thou me more than these? And you, I don't know. I can count on this. If we're serving you, I can fall back on this. I mean, the world, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, anything you want me to give up, I'll give up just so I can see you work. So in the end, Naaman was cleansed through submission. He had to bend to what his servant told him. Oh, I'm not going to try that. I don't like what I was told. And the servant said, won't you consider it? He bent to the servant. He bent to the stream. I don't like the Jordan. There's better. But that's the place God wants you to dip in. He bent to the servant. He bent to the stream, and he bent to the saying of the man of God. And because of submission, he dunked those 7 times and came up. And God provided a miracle. He was cleansed. So he thought he knew something about submission. He thought he knew something about service. I doubt that he realized that God had given him the victory. It says that now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He thought, well, I'm able to do stuff. And he didn't even realize that by him the Lord gave deliverance. And he's saying, I'm able to do stuff. So I'm going to go down, and with my ability, he's going to tell me to do some great thing, and I'll demonstrate my worthiness, and no, he was going to learn about when you have that right heart toward cleansing from God, service means something very different. Not me demonstrating my worth, but me demonstrating His worth. Because He's brought me cleansing. And He's going to learn this along the way. If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he says, wash and be clean. A heart to do some great thing for mine own glory, but also for the sake of cleansing. Boy, it's that valuable. He wanted to do some great thing. But with God, it's not me getting the glory. It's me doing what God wants so He gets the glory. He comes to find out there is no God in all the earth except for the God of Israel. To God be the glory. He is God, and I need to build my life around that truth. My life cannot ever be the same. My life will not be the same. As we read, his future was going to be altered. Can I bring some dirt from here back home? And listen, my master is going to want certain things as he worships this false God. And I'm concerned about that because he's not the real God. And I want to order my life as though this God is real and only this God, because it only makes sense to build my life around that truth. His life changes from wanting to do some great thing to show his greatness to wanting to do some faithful thing to show God's greatness. I love the illustration. They talked about somebody who was going to listen to Charles Spurgeon preach, and that there was this other great man that they were going to hear preach. So they heard this other great man preach in the morning, and they said, wow, that guy's a great preacher. In the evening, they listened to Charles Spurgeon. They said, wow, that guy preaches about a great God. He was going to learn to order his life. And I do things because he's worthy, not to show how worthy I am. Me, great? No, he alone is great. I love this psalm, Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished as a similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth 10,000 and 10,000 in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our street. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Me, great? No, he alone. There is no God save the God of Israel. It makes sense that we would serve him because he's worthy. Jesus said this to the devil there in Luke 4. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So again, if Naaman was willing to do some great thing to get cleansing, can you be willing to do some great thing because you are cleansed? Oh, I don't know. I'm pretty reserved when it comes to giving my life to God and doing something big for him. Naaman thought cleansing was so precious, he was ready to do some great thing to get cleansing. Why are there believers that are not willing to do some great thing because they are cleansed? Do we value what he did or not? And lastly, what he learned about sacrifice. He returned to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God," verse 15, "in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." So he came, right? He came with 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. He thought sacrifice was bringing of my goods to pay for the gift, when in reality it was bringing of my goods to thank the person that gave me the free gift. To show appreciation, not to pay. To show appreciation and not to pay. He was a leper that returned, wasn't he? Does that remind you of some of the New Testament? Remember those 10 lepers in the New Testament? And one returned. Luke 17, 11 through 19, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. I think that's, here we see Naaman. The Old Testament, he dipped in the Jordan. I don't know. I think sometimes we think the Jordan was right next to Elisha's house. It wasn't. It was like 25 miles away, on the way back to Damascus. So he starts heading back to Damascus, and he dips these 7 times, and he has cleansing. He's a good portion of the way home. You're cleansed. Why not keep going? He returned. He returned. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." He returned. Not to pay for his salvation, but to show his appreciation for it. The gift is free. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. But oh, the preciousness of salvation. I understand submission. I understand sacrifice. I understand service. He comes back and he wants to pay Elisha and again, earlier he wanted to bring something to show his self-sufficiency and pride, but now instead it was deep appreciation for cleansing from God. When God does a work of grace for a person, miserliness is not one of the fruits, but generosity is. Stingy givers indicate they may lack the real thing in their hearts. Now here, Elisha thought it best not to receive the wealth from him, possibly to further clarify the picture that the cleansing provided was free of charge. But the point is, he was cleansed, and it resulted in a heart of generosity. I have to go back and give thanks. I have to go back and give a heart of generosity. Next month is our push, but also next month is our time of stewardship. How precious is your cleansing to you? Has it resulted in a heart of generosity? Next week we're going to look at Gehazi. The love of money had choked his generosity and resulted in disease entering his life. Boy, there in Malachi, it talks about not robbing God and the curse that comes from being a God robber. And we're like, oh, I don't want the curse. Well, that God wants a cheerful giver. He doesn't want you giving because he's like, I just don't want God, you know, cutting it out of me at the hospital, cutting it out of me at the automobile repair place. God will get his money one way or the other, so I might as well. God wants a cheerful giver. Here was a Naaman who was so excited about his cleansing that it just made sense to have a heart of generosity. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. I've been there. I better give. God will get his money one way or the other. I've been there, but God doesn't want us giving grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. All right, so Naaman, he thought he knew some things, but God taught him so much more. Had a heart for cleansing. And what a wonderful chapter for him. Would you go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads, and we'll stand together. We'll have a short time of invitation. Again, I ask the question, how precious is your cleansing to you? How precious is your cleansing to you? Boy, in the search, he learned so much about submission, bending to what God wants. He learned so much about service, serving not to show his own worthiness, but to show the worth of the one who cleansed him. He learned so much about sacrifice. Oh, he could have gone home, but he returned. Like that leper in the New Testament that said, I couldn't possibly keep going. I had to come and pour out a heart of gratefulness and generosity because of the cleansing. Boy, tonight we're thinking about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the cleansing. Did it used to be precious to you? Did it used to affect your life, but you've gotten cold? Boy, maybe we ought to get some things right tonight. The cleansing. How precious is it to you? Lord, I pray that you be with this time of invitation. Lord, work on us, Lord. We want to see you do a marvelous work next month, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to make sure the stones are rolled away so you can call the Lazaruses from the dead. Help us to make sure that we're not sleeping during the prayer times in the Garden of Gethsemane, putting in the time so that you can do the miraculous things. Oh, God, we need you. But help us to do our part. Yes, Lord, we want you to receive the glory. But you won't act unless we're doing what we're supposed to do. Lord, Naaman learned some things. And I pray that tonight as we looked at him, we saw some things very clearly as well. Be in this time of invitation. Work on us, O Lord. Do a work. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.